Hi, buddy. Welcome to another episode of the Crypto Sparta podcast. It is Sunday, January 30th, and we got a lot of news, even though there's not much news in the markets. But Brian, go ahead, take it away.
Yeah, so the markets have been kind of stagnant, I guess, like, or more on the downside than up. Bitcoin's kind of been, you know, sideways at 37,000. And ETH was like sideways around like 2,500. But altcoins have taken a big hit, I think. And there was a lot of FUD or a lot of stuff that happened, especially with Wonderland and Luna and MIM and Abracadabra that we'll talk about. But yeah, but begs the question, like, are we in a bear market? Or, like, you know, people, I think Arthur Hayes came out again saying
he said nothing till March.
Well, he predicted like lower now, like, yeah, 1700 ETH and then like 25,000 Bitcoin. Like, Bitcoin was trending down, like, it was like at 35 at one point, and then, you know, Arthur Hayes was right, or, like, you know, tweets came out saying that he was right. He's base, he called it. But it never really got to 30,000. But it did, you know, he definitely called that dip, you know, last episode where I was like skeptical. But yeah, it's not looking great right now as far as crypto is concerned and all the altcoins.
Yeah, I mean, I think I saw recently with like the broader markets, where I think almost for all these market segments, we can do like the crypto markets, and then as they're tied to the larger markets and regulation. And there's a lot of people shorting stocks and like everything. Like, everybody's like hedging for, you know, like a recession or something. And
yeah,
just overall in the world, there's a lot of turmoil, and then there's a lot of scaring the people about regulations and stuff. And it's interesting because there's going to be a lot of legal fights, but Biden has come out kind of as like saying it's a national security risk, I believe were his exact terms. And so there are some bills. Brian, which one was the bill?
Is that just crypto that he said was a national security risk?
Yeah.
Yeah, within the infrastructure bill, there was, I mean, they're still trying to get it passed in the House, but they had this amendment in, they took it out, and then they put it back in, which is pretty pretty bad for crypto, to say it simply. It's like in the America Competes Act, just introduced to the House, basically giving the Treasury Secretary like unchecked and unilateral power to ban exchanges and other financial institutions from engaging in cryptocurrency transactions. This is a thread from Jerry Brito that's pretty good, executive director of Coin Center. Yeah, so basically giving Treasury Secretary a lot of power without any checks and balances per se, like, you know, eliminate all public notice, eliminate 120 day limitation for measures imposed without regulation. And I think this is going to overlap to, you know, non-crypto funds too, which could, I mean, just is overall a bad thing in general.
Yeah, I mean, there's that, but we'd also talked about on the flip side how there are states now in the United States that are trying to recognize it legally, and I'm not sure what the difference is between Arizona and Colorado, but as we had talked about, Colorado is looking to say that people can pay taxes in Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's what I read. And then in Arizona, they're trying to make it the legal tender. So this is a proposal by the Colorado governor. His crypto plan withstands market sell-off. So, I mean, he just proposed it. There's nothing like hardcore or in paper. He doesn't have like an actual bill. He just basically said it in a conference of his interest to explore the idea, which is pretty interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people talking about starting to like pool resources to try to like fight this. And recently
the there was the GMI Act or the Competes Act.
No, have you seen the? Well, I'm just saying the GMI DAO. That's a it's a super PAC. So there are more people. Yeah, they created a new. I was explaining to Varsha GMI and WAGME. The GMI is gonna make it, and WAGME is we're all gonna make it. And so the GMI DAO, I thought it sounds like unserious, but apparently it's Trabuco, Sam Trabuco. No, it's not. It's actually Dan, what's his name? I don't want to butcher it. The guy from, he's not.
Blitzarian?
No.
What?
No, it's like something, Matuszewski. He was on that Big Brain podcast. He's from CMS. He is one of the main people involved, as well as I think like Peter Thiel is like everybody. I think they got like $2 billion raised, which is a lot. Or I don't know. That might be wrong too.
I don't know if it's $2 billion.
I mean, they got a lot of, well, yeah, 2 million seems wrong. That's what I was saying.
2 billion seems wrong.
And they've got the Mooch. They've got Scaramucci. I don't know how he ends up in all these rooms with these people.
Yeah, what? I didn't even know he was, like, that big into crypto.
Okay, 20 million. I definitely was way off.
But... Yeah, 2 billion, like, that's, yeah, like, that's Wonderland. Like,
yeah. So, yeah, it's a crypto super PAC. And then, yeah, Anthony Scaramucci, Dan Matuszewski, Ryan Solane, Vance Spencer from there. There's a lot of team: Multicoin Capital, Blockchain Capital, Bank Framework Mass Ventures co-founder Vance Spencer, FTX Digital Markets CEO Ryan Solane, and CMS Holdings co-founder Dan Matuszewski. Matuszewski said that it was long overdue and that it's going to be the community's campaign arm. Although there's that Neeraj dude, Neeraj Agarwal.
I don't know who that is.
He's like a pretty big account, and I didn't know who he really was or what he did. And then he went on a, who's that dude that says like, there are no coincidences. You're watching this video because we're aligned, you know, like, it's this black dude with like makeup on that's like really famous, and Neeraj went into a video with him, and so then I like figured out that there's another company. Let me look up Neeraj Agarwal. He is on Coin Center. So they also are another lobbyist group. But, I mean, it's good that there are different groups. I think that he's, like, an actual lobbyist. And I think that, like, GMI is just, like, they're just, like, throwing money at people.
Well, it's basically cool. Lobby, like, a DAO devoted for lobbying, basically, right?
Yeah, but I think, like, some of them, like, they are actually, like, talking to lawmakers and stuff. And I think some of them are just, like... All right, so you're down for crypto? Like, here's $5 million. And I don't know.
I mean, it's a very easy way to raise funds now. I think it is. What the DAO thing has, you know, taught us is that it's really easy to create a DAO and have people give money. It's way easier. There's no all this like middleman. That's what I was trying to. There's no like middleman that you know that you have to donate to. There's like no Red Cross. It's just like, you know, send your money to or buy this coin, and this money goes to the treasury. And then,
so I mean, I feel like it's like an interesting thing because crypto is opening so many doors of like, and I mean, we're kind of talking about regulation and back and forth of like what different governments are looking to do. And it was interesting to me how with the Suki things. So Suki is like a super popular NFT now that's kind of shooting up. They're talking about how, you know, they're raising money through the sale of NFTs. Like Wonderland, you know, raised it and then did tokens. But like all of these things are super arbitrary now. And then you can very easily just give money to people back and forth. And the government is like getting pissed about this and worried.
Yeah, because they're not generating off the fees that it takes to sell. Or like there's no Zelle company or Venmo that's making money off of our transactions.
And they can't turn it off. Like,
yeah.
They got, was it Hayden Adams, the Uniswap guy, where they got him to like Citibank closed his account?
Yeah, I saw that tweet where somebody said that like
people. There was some recent person who
Chase got Bank, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a recent crypto thing, and then they didn't have to tell them, and it was like, well, normally they have to tell you unless the government is the one behind it. And so they're like debanking crypto people. But you can't be unbanked if you're all in crypto. Like,
yeah.
And then again, true. I was reading about the regulations, and then they were talking about Tornado Cash. And it's kind of crazy because there is some, and I mean, it circles back around to Wonderland and NFTs and raising money and scams and not getting traced. But they're talking about how Tornado Cash has done 10 billion in transactions. And they were like, yeah, we can trace like, I think there were like 3 or 4 hacks that used Tornado Cash, and they were like, we know that like a large percentage of Tornado Cash.
The name, just like whoever comes up with these names is like, yeah, it's just, that's the image. It's like a visualized money laundering app. Like it just circles, spin around the money. That's where the term money laundering comes from. It's just like in the dryer, spinning
around. Yeah, just wash it, spinning around and like, Tornado Cash, what they do is that they have so many different addresses. It's kind of like a VPN where you put money in and then it gets moved through different things and then gets sent out. if the feds are listening, I've never used it. I don't know anything about this. This is not legal advice.
But yeah, I don't recommend you using this.
I mean, I think you can use it legally. I think some people like it. I mean, some people say, you know, there shouldn't be anything wrong with privacy. But like Tornado Cash, what the article I was reading about was there was like an MIT cryptologist who was like, this technology is genius because there is no way to trace where it goes. It's impossible.
Like a tornado.
And so, yeah. And so it's like, hey man, like, I don't know who I sent it to. I just ordered something on the internet. I wanted to pay for an NFT. And the government's going to be like, are you sure you didn't send it to yourself? But they were talking about how there was like a $200 million Bitmart exploit that immediately went through Tornado Cash. Like there are no extra steps. You just boom.
Yeah, there's no middleman. That's it's like, it's so efficient.
Yeah, so it was for Tornado Cash. 196 million stolen from Bitmart, according to Victor Fang, CEO and founder of the analytics. This is advanced cryptography. Turing awarded work from MIT, the highest award in computer science, explained Fang, who chuckled in awe of the technology underpinning the protocol. Oh, it's only the past year Tornado Cash has serviced over 10 billion worth of crypto transactions, with a rising number of criminal cases being managed by Fang's firm involving the protocol. Privacy is not criminal, but criminals are seeking these privacy solutions. This is the tip of the iceberg, the beginning of the future we're going to see played out.
Well,
And I
that,
mean,
yeah.
yeah.
I mean, with everything so available, there's gonna be, I think that was on the Vitalik podcast with the Up Only, where like there's gonna be a need for people to privatize some of their stuff on the blockchain. Like that's gonna be a feature with everything being so public. People are gonna want to privatize or, make things less well known or out there in the future.
No, and I mean, on the flip side, the governments are going to come even harder, I think, because like when more and more people realize how this is used, and like we're talking about like wash trading on looks rare.
Yeah.
And then I was reading an article about like the FBI, how they have a specific team for crypto, and they were like, it's increasing by like it's like the border, where they're like, we're getting more meth, like we're stopping more meth at the border. So we're assuming there's even more being like, we're getting like billions in like
But
laundered money.
on the flip side of like the whole like FBI, like they need the manpower. They need to actually hire people that are like crypto native or like good at crypto and can understand it. So like if you're really good at crypto, why would you go to the team that is like trying to hurt crypto or like trying to regulate it? Like,
They were
how are they
saying that
recruiting people, I guess?
every person in this team, like they have a team that's for taxes, and they were like 93% of our work is crypto now, and we're training every single person that we hire for this Fed team. And it's like I saw a
This
meme
is.
about it where they're like, imagine like signing up to be a Fed, and then you have to fake out 20-year-old college students and act like you're a 19-year-old blonde chick from Eastern Europe. Like,
Yeah, like but on the flip side though, just like any movie or any like mafia movie where it's like the FBI catches you on a crime and then forces you to work with them on a lesser sentence or like,
yeah, catch
right?
me if you can. Yeah.
So it's all about like one person. Yeah, Catch Me If You Can, perfect example where like the guy got
Frank
caught.
Abagnale. Dude's
Yep.
still working there, I think.
Yeah, he
Or not,
ended up.
probably not anymore, but
Well, yeah, I mean,
at the
like
time of the
he
movie, the
worked
dude had
there
caught
for a
like
long
200
time.
people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause like he was like the OG, bank fraud guy.
Yeah.
And then he ended up getting caught and then he w worked for the government. But yeah, also on that tweet also reminded me of, there's another funny tweet where, imagine going to, getting an economics degree from like, an Ivy League school and then getting a mat MBA at Oxford and then you join this VC company and then they ask you to pretend you're a 20-year-old e-girl
Yeah. Yeah.
trying to get
And it's
in
like
the NFT drops.
successful strategy. And I mean, we can pivot to the NFTs or we can get into the Wonderland stuff before we go ahead. But like,
Let's go on the
yeah.
looks. We're on NFT and money laundering.
Yeah. Yeah. Some solid topics to learn about. But it's real interesting because what they're saying is looks rare is trying to compete with OpenSea. And OpenSea is like an established company. Did they already IPO? The OSEA is, right?
Not yet. Or
Not yet.
I'm gonna Google it real quick.
Yeah. But OpenSea is like the leading marketplace for NFTs. And
Not yet.
yeah. It's like everybody was just telling them, we use and support your platform and it sucks.
Yeah, they've just, it's like misstep after misstep. It's kind of really gone downhill where there's like known bugs on within OpenSea where people have been listing, or like who previously listed like their Bored Ape for like, you know, 5 ETH back in the day, and then they unlist it, and then it still shows up after a while that it's listed at the previous price. So it will get bought at that 5 ETH price, for example, without you knowing it.
From what I understand, it was like when people were moving stuff from Rarible to OpenSea. Like if you were moving, or I forgot exactly.
I thought it was a very general bug where it was
But they already had to shell out 1.8 million, but it's like, dude, that was my Bored Ape and it just got sold. Like, how are you guys this bad at NFTs?
Yeah, and then they proposed some CryptoPathic was like super upset. They proposed like this thing, and it was just really bad. This like minting limit or something.
They were like doing mints with no charge. I think if you got like a pre-approved, but you could only do like sets of 50 because like their tech was bad. It was so dumb, and then it was like, OpenSea has really been just fumbling the bag over and over again. And they're talking there's going to be a class action lawsuit about OpenSea because they basically lost custody of people's NFTs and digital property. And I mean, dude, if you got a Bored Ape that was sold that you'd held on to for a really long time, like, I'd be pissed, especially if they don't get it back to you because, you know, even if they reimburse you, the price is shooting through the roof. So yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. But there was this one guy on Twitter, or not on Twitter, on OpenSea. They made an account saying, don't worry, OpenSea will reimburse you. And they made like 60 ETH or something purchasing all of the apes and all the different things. They created a bot to exploit every single person that had that and then bought them and then was selling them and flipping them on LooksRare. Yeah. And I mean, LooksRare. So, I mean, do you want to read that tweet off about the 87% thing?
Yeah. So there's website which tracks what's happening in Web3. Web3 is going great. It's a clever website. And it basically just, it's like a news generator of all the things that have been happening in crypto. And then there's this article from Decrypt, which reported that 87% of trades on LooksRare NFT platforms are platform reported to be wash trades. And so, so how are they doing this? They basically have two different wallets where they basically list and then buy and then sell it to the other wallet. Basically buying it themselves, and then it goes to their other wallet on MetaMask, and then so that's how they're, and it's royalty free too, so they don't have to pay the creators for secondary sale. And then there's a reward for people who are trading. They get like extra looks rewards, trading higher values. So people are exploiting, this platform, just to, as a tax benefit.
Yeah. And I think like, it's strange to me, I think, cause it's like, I think the tax benefit is one thing where you like, say that you don't own it anymore, or you move wallets and then, you know, in the future you can sell it from the private wallet when it's worth more. But it seems like people are just selling to themselves because then they get a ton of looks, and then you stake the looks. The looks rewards will eventually like end because there's a set amount of looks tokens. And so then they're saying when the rewards ends, it's the classic thing, like every time a crypto has rewards, be careful.
Yeah.
And like Brian and I have been bit by that, you know, because they say it's going to compound. And so if you just hold on, and then you don't realize that there are other people getting a lot more rewards than you, and then they dump on you.
the whole 3-3 thing is kind of dead. It was fun. But this is actually, I mean, I'm reading this article and this is like a huge, this is like this is going to end badly because like, so they've been generating 9 billion, close to 9.5 billion in total ETH volume, but more than 8.3 billion is just from wash trading. So it's not like organic.
But they say that
usage.
They say that. They say that. I don't know if you can trust that number. And then also,
this is
you have to say that like they're trying analytics. To encourage people to use the platform. So they're giving out rewards to people that buy and sell on the platform. So it is a valid marketing, you know, strategy. And they are getting people to sell on it. And they are getting fees in Ethereum. And at the end of the day, even with or without the rewards, if they can just compete straight up, their fees are less than OpenSea. And, no and those fees are distributed.
No yeah. royalty is big, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I'm just like very skeptical. It's like, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame.
What do you mean no royalty, though?
You know how. So if you sell on OpenSea, there's a royalty fee that you have to, that goes to the creator.
Like, I think on Looks Rare it does as well. Or it doesn't?
Not on. According to this website, there's no. Most of the wash trading comes from royalty-free collections. So it's basically collections themselves that don't have royalty fees. Like they said, like Meebits, Loot, Crypto Funks, which are the fake crypto punks.
So these people just sell to themselves, and then they get the rewards, or.
Yeah, yeah. They actually sell it at a higher price to get the rewards. Yeah.
And then what I heard is that it's also a scheme to then, like, if it's your project, you just have, like, a big chunk of money in your pocket that you just are, like, charging yourself. And then every person that isn't you that buys one, you just have inflated the, you know. Like, a lot of projects do that where they just keep buying the floor.
Yeah, yeah. They do like, a floor sweep.
Because, like, if you have like a giant treasury, like if you're the Bored Apes and like the price goes way down.
But these are for like high, these are for like already pumped or like already high priced collections. Like Meebits,
yeah.
Floor is high. Loot is floor is high. You know, Crypto Funks. Oh,
that was the interesting thing though, where they were saying that it was like today it was the gold for Bored Ape that got sold on Looks Rare. And. Dude, that generates like a lot in fees. So today, so if you look on the Looks Rare Twitter, Looks Rare versus OpenSea, the first pinned tweet, if the buyer got 3.5K in trading rewards on OpenSea, they would have gotten none. And the seller saved 1,500 in fees and got 3.5 in trading rewards. So the rewards right now on Looks Rare are high, is what I got. But no, today it's Dingling TS. So some of the names are so ridiculous, but they posted the tweet that Looks Rare retweeted. 1,080 ETH Bored Ape Yacht Club sale. The buyer will gain 6,550 looks, which is 27,000, which then you can stake or sell. But then you stake and then you get more of the ETH fees and you get more looks because they're still doing rewards. The seller got 5.5 ETH plus 6,550 looks. And then, so they got all that. That's 40,800 that they got just from rewards for using looks. But I believe, you know, the percentage fee of that goes to the platform then is distributed among all the holders. So, and then that's calculated like every single week, all of the, I mean, if you're just giving money to yourself, you're still paying fees at the end of the day on Looks Rare. So and it'd be dumb because you're still chewing yourself up. Yeah, exactly. But I mean,
so that's why, I mean, this is why it benefits like the people with the high ETH collections, like Bored Ape, Yacht Club, Meebits, whatever. because it's like you trade, incentivize trading high value or high volume. So if I'm like, for me, who has like 0.05 ETH to trade or like to buy, sell, whatever, that's not going to generate as much looks.
Yeah, but I mean, it could be something still. But then yeah. Look at this that they did. So looks, day 19 trading rewards have been distributed. So in terms of looks for rewards, 2,866,500 looks, which is $13.1 million. That's the rewards that are being distributed. But in terms of the amount of ETH being, or wrapped ETH being spent on the platform, the wrapped ETH rewards are 4,534 wrapped ETH, which is 11.8 million. So they give out 13 million in rewards, but they generate roughly 12 million in wrapped ETH rewards as well for the coins. So it's like eventually the rewards have to end, and then that's when people will dump. But
well, you get your ETH back for the gas fee, basically, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, and if you're spending a ton of money, and if you have a lot of look stake, you're making a lot of wrapped ETH. I saw somebody had already they had made like a ton of wrapped ETH off of just buying a ton of looks right when it dropped and staking. Yeah, and I mean, I should have looked at it harder because I think I'm pretty in the green with the rewards and stuff at the moment. But and I think it launched at like 250. And it got like, up to 6, but it's hovering around like 420-ish.
Yeah, I don't know. This is a kind of the frustrating thing about crypto where it's like, it benefits the whale. So it's like, if you're a whale, if you have like 7 figures, like it's so easy to like deploy and like start making money off these like scam, or not, I'm not going to call it scam.
Well, but like, the rewards, the thing is, the small fries are like, all right, I need to like get rewards for a really long time and let this snowball.
Yeah. It's like, I'm just going to stake for a year and get 7,000, but you might not even get a year, as we found out.
That's the whole thing. And then they're just like, okay, I can stake and like make like,
I just need 30 days.
Yeah. And like, not even, but yeah. Like, yeah, they're going to do 30 days. And it's like, but I mean, the thing is, they were talking about, people were like, I've been using Looks Rare. They are way more responsive. They're adding features daily. It's clear that the team is like more in tune with the community.
And it's more decentralized than OpenSea.
Yeah. And the rewards are, I mean, at the end of the day, the rewards in the token. Like, if OpenSea had just done a token, people would not be upset at all. But they never did a token.
I think, OpenSea is, like, kind of becoming more mainstream, I guess, and not for crypto native people. It's more for, like, celebrity. Like, I think they figure that, like, if they get celebrities trading or, like, buying NFTs on their platform, like, they'll get, like, normie adoption, and then they don't even need to, like, fix the problems.
Well,
that,
and
like, OpenSea, normies complain about, or that, like, crypto people complain about.
Yeah. OpenSea is looking to do Phantom and Solana NFTs as well. And so, or maybe Phantom and AVAX. I know Phantom. I think Solana, though. Where definitely if they Solana. Integrate it. Yeah, where if everything is on OpenSea, then, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's all technology, and there's no reason Looks Rare can't keep up.
Yeah. No, it's, but, I mean, competition is healthy, right?
Yeah.
And right now, OpenSea was the only, I mean, it was the, I mean, there's other platforms like Curate, and then, but like for Ethereum, based NFT projects, OpenSea was like the only one. So yeah, we'll see how this plays out.
I mean, dude, if Looks Rare, in my mind, it's just like, why? But then the thing is, all these technology things, it's kind of like the network effect and like first mover advantage. But it's like, why doesn't everybody just use Looks Rare and then use their tokens to stake, and then we all share in the profits? And we're all trading anyways, and the fees are lower.
But yeah, I don't know.
I got to check my, because at some point, hopefully that the wrapped ETH is enough to cover the gas fees. I thought of just holding my, huh?
The gas fees of you trading.
No, just the wrapped ETH. Like, it's not even me trading, just the wrapped ETH that I'm earning from the staked looks.
Yeah, but you're hoping that it pays back the gas that you've
spent. Yeah, no, I think it already paid back the gas. I think I was, like, at, like, 0.2 or something ETH, where I was like, whoa, this is, like, hundreds of dollars after just a few weeks. I think I was at, like, $190 in wrapped ETH, actually, plus the looks. But, I mean, you could do the math, but, I mean, also the APY has been going down. And then, yeah, there's, like, the impending nervousness of a dump, but I don't know. Yeah. I haven't really used it because I'm not, like, buying NFTs anymore, but, I mean, I've been thinking about it.
Yeah, I think if I would take it, I mean, obviously we want to take advantage of this for as long as possible and then, you know, get out hopefully before.
Hopefully. But I mean, who knows? If they can take over, then that'd be sweet. Looks to $20.
Why not? Why not? We're all hopeful in the beginning. It's all sunshine and rainbows until you get burned.
Time in the market. Time in the market, and I think like staking and like different strategies to earn rewards. Hoping that in the future everything goes up.
It was definitely like a good buy if you bought like 2 weeks ago when it dipped. Like it got under $3, I want to say. I'm trying to load the chart. It got under $4, and then now it's like back to $4.20.
But yeah, it's like hovering right there, isn't it?
Yeah, Los was like at $3.30, but it got up to $5 and then dropped.
And you got to imagine that there's some whales that are just consistently dumping rewards.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure, like, NFT, the people who made their money in NFTs are just loving the system.
And, I mean, some of the people got, like, 20K airdrops.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like, that's just that, like, it's like crypto nepotism or, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
the rich get richer type stuff.
Yeah. I think this would get a transfer into Wonderland. How I've just been like really sad. Wonderland. One of my favorite coins, I've talked about it on this podcast. Made it a shill. But it seems to have rugged us with the news. So
I have hope. I have some hope for the Frog Nation.
I don't know, man. It's like, I mean, after this, usually, like, look at what happened to Snowbank. Like, that has never, it's like, it's done. It's like, hasn't recovered.
Well, the thing is, and this is the issue that, for the people that haven't gotten us up to speed, and this is what I wanted to relate to it with the NFTs, where, like, Asuki has sold so much and traded so much that they have like a large cash pile. And I shared the video that Brian saw where they have really good artists making their videos and they're going to make like art behind it or like, I don't know what else. And then
it's like anime based. If you ever look at it, it's like a ninja or like, you know, anime looking.
But they must have spent some good money for that Ichima. Shout out Keith Ape.
That was like a high production. Yeah. High production, you know, trailer. Squad.
So yeah. In a way, if you're like investing in Asuki or in any NFTs, it's very similar to investing in Wonderland, where at the end of the day, it's kind of representative of like, look, I'm going to give you money and like, you're going to give me something that represents something. And NFTs are also tokens in the same way that coins are tokens. And then that's the thing is, fungible tokens like Wonderland or, you know, duplicable tokens where you can trade lots of them versus NFTs, which are a singular token that can't be duplicated. There are only so many of them. So we basically gave money to Wonderland.
I'm going to explain what happened. Basically, this guy, Sifu, who he kind of gained our trust, or gained my trust at least, or gained everyone's trust. And he was managing the treasury, and it was, which was like $1 billion at its height. And like, you know, working all the VC deals, like getting us getting into BSGG and the NFT gaming platform, and then Zach XPT.eth, he found out, or like he did some sleuthing, he found out that Sifu is actually Michael Pattern, who's like the co-founder of Quadriga, which was a Canadian exchange that collapsed in 2019. Basically like an OG rug, like a very famous crypto rug. And he was the co-founder mastermind. And then, I mean, this guy's a known scammer, or known criminal, I guess. You know, prior to Quadriga, helped run an identity theft ring that he pled guilty to. So yeah, it's, so news broke out that this guy and Daniele like apparently knew a month ago and then didn't disclose it. And then, so it was just like news got out that this guy is a known scammer, and then this just tanked the price and just questioned the, you know, the motives of Wonderland too. Cause like the past week there was all these liquidations, and if this guy found out a month ago, probably the whales found out a month ago too, the insiders. And that's probably what caused the price to dump this past month. Yeah, so spell tanked, and then, you know, this caused just a cascade of the abracadabra system, like spell tanked, ice tanked, and then there was like a DPEG of MIM, where there was an arbitrage opportunity, where like one USDC or one UST was worth 70 cents MIM. So it was a huge FUD event where people sold, you know, I sold too. People took it at a loss and sold. And then, you know, Almeida wanted to get out of their MIM because of that news, but they couldn't because they had 500 million, but there's only 300 million of exit liquidity, so they couldn't get out. Yeah, so it just felt like everything was disingenuous of where how information was presented, and communication was just terrible.
I mean, I would say, like, to add, like, from like a different perspective, and also I was wondering if you could pull up the meme that I had sent to you earlier, and then I can read that off as well. But in the meantime, basically, like, what's happening now is that they have this 800 million treasury that was supposed to be used for farming, and then people were supposed to continuously be getting rewards, and then people wrapped their MIMO to then, instead of be getting more tokens, that there would be buybacks in that wrapped MIMO, and then there would be airdrops. Like, people are like, oh, when BetSwap GG.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like we're not getting that airdrop, because so there was a community vote that passed to remove him as treasury manager, which passed. And he was like, if you guys remove me in the Discord, if you guys remove me as a treasury manager, you guys are not getting the BSGG airdrop.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't think we're getting any airdrops, honestly. And even the proposal. So there was a proposal like a couple of days ago to disband the treasury, basically by Wonderland. And it was basically very, kind of shade, it was a very one side, or like they tried to make the proposal to generate the result that they wanted, or like, you know, to manipulate the result. And so the proposal was basically to disband the treasury within 48 hours. You know, the vote, there's a vote to disband the treasury in 48 hours. And it was based on the snapshot or the current snapshot of MIMO holders, people had like 5 days to come up with a counterproposal. And so it was very obscure where it's like a thousand, like it was like very 50-50 vote. And one of the votes that wanted to the majority of the votes that wanted to disband the treasury all came from whale wallets that like bought, you know, a couple days before. So there's like 100 wallets worth like, you know, 100 some MIMO, 100,000 MIMO that voted yes, so they could get that quick, you know, 2x arbitrage, because it's like trading below the risk-free value right now.
So I'm looking, I just looked up tweets, like I just looked up Sifu. There's this guy, Chubby Joe, saying, Daniele, if winding down is the end result, provide a detailed breakdown. Because Sifu was saying, okay, if we wind it down, then everybody gets 30K per wrapped MIMO, which is like below the backing price technically. And then they were supposed to also get the BSGG, but Sifu was like, well, man, yeah, you're not getting your BSGG or whatever. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Well, the snapshot is whack too, because like, they're doing the snapshot of current holders. What about the thousands that sold because of the news? Like for me, if they do at the current way the snapshot is constructed, I don't get anything.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the meme that Daniel wanted me to read. It's basically the guy.
Can you post it? I was going to say.
Yeah, I'll share my screen.
Yeah. So people can see it and then. Yeah, I was hoping that we can up the technology, the production value, and get a meme or two in each episode.
Are you seeing it?
No.
Or no, wait.
Yeah, I can see your screen now.
But do you see
it's
the...
Like, it's the classic meme of the Astros dude talking to the hot chick.
So there's this guy, Sifu.
Yeah.
But this just made like all the past, you know, moves just very skeptical. Like when this whole thing dipped, like they were saying like, oh, we plan the buybacks. We're going to buy back. And, you know, they buy back, but never got above the risk-free value. So it was just like, very fishy going on with the buybacks. And then also with just how the liquidations unfolded, I think. Yeah, this tweet is funny where Daniele says there's either intelligence construct or...
yeah, they were talking if he's like in the Italian mafia.
Yeah, or he's just like dumb because he like liquidated himself. But then it blows the question, like, you know, what's the platform? Like, who owns the platform that liquidates you? Like, you know, like he owns Abracadabra, basically.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! So I'm reading about it though. Do you want to read the meme, or can you blow it up?
Because
I'm looking at the other stuff, because like we had talked about how Sifu was like a scammer, but like you should read that, and then I'll read a bit about Sifu and maybe we can make it a clip.
Who's also he's not Merlin.
No, but yeah, but you should just you just want to read it off, or should I?
I'll read it. So there's this guy, Sifu, who's in charge of Wonderland. But in turns, he's also a pattern who got plastic surgery from Bitfinex CFO Giancarlo, who's also Merlin of Abracadabra. So we wouldn't recognize him, but anyway, we did. And he was the co-founder of Quadriga and used to trade user funds before the other co-founder kind of died, but didn't in India, rugging 160 million. So everyone made a thread on how Sifu is pattern. and a scammer from even before crypto went to jail. And there's this Ron Jeremy and Pablo Escobar and a baby looking guy, Danny, that is in charge of Mim and wants to give Sifu, who is actually fattered, but also had another name, a second chance for the 10th time. So now we're trying to figure out if Danny is laundering money for the Italian mafia.
Yeah. So you're talking about Sifu. Now I'm on the block crypto.com. It's Sifu, it's aka Michael Patron, the co-founder of Quadriga CX, is no longer the treasury manager. He got voted out by 88%. And then they had found out because of this guy, Zach, on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And basically, yeah, Sifu had been part of Quadriga, and he founded it with Gerald Cotton, who passed away unexpectedly and mysteriously in 2018 after a trip to India.
There's like a podcast of like true crime series on this Quadriga. It's called Exit Scam. Like, it was like a it's like a series. And then Up Only did a podcast with the guy who did Exit Scam, and then also a couple other people like Taylor, the co-founder of My Crypto, and she also had a pretty good thread of how shitty this guy is. But this is like a well-known scam that, you know, like, they should probably make a movie. It's like, is he dead or is he actually dead? Like, people don't know if that guy.
It was an exchange in Canada.
Yeah.
That wiped out all of their clients. And yeah, Brian at the joke, who was it that made that one joke where it was like, oh, he's
oh, see, Sifu, known rug or known, known scammer, bullish, knows how to run a Ponzi.
It's a relevant experience.
Yeah, check, has run a Ponzi before.
But I mean, now it's weird because the vote went down whether to unwind or not, and it was roughly 50-50, with the whales saying for the majority of it, unwind the treasury, which would mean that whoever has the most tokens, they just get like that chunk of the 800 million. And then who knows what happens with the bet swap tokens that were supposed to be distributed to all the holders.
I don't know. My thing is that I'm like dumbfounded about is that like they're getting all these investments from, I mean, they're VCs in these like, you know, legit companies. Like the NFT gaming one is actually a legit game that has like, you know, people who worked at PlayStation or Sony or like gaming experience. Like these are legit projects. So it's like,
and they had like good farming strategies too, where it was like,
and it was a series fund too. So those people had to choose to invest with, you know, Wonderland out of other choices. But Daniele has tweeted like Wonderland experiment is coming to an end. So even the 50-50 thing, he's going to reimburse, but I don't know. It's like, he's like burned us so many times. Like, how can you trust him?
Well, the thing is, you just hope that it gets taken out of his hands probably. And I'm hoping that like, basically the treasury is untouched and it just continues. And then they put it in control of someone else who continues the farming strategies and the airdrops. And then I want them to just stop rebasing, stop giving out rewards. And then from now on, it's just a fixed treasury with no more new tokens in dilution, where the people who are invested just get airdrops of the things that they invest in, or they get airdrops in ETH or dollars or MIM or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, like looking back, like should have posed questions that this guy was undoxed, un-KYC'd, and this guy is managing one. We're trusting him to manage $1 billion, basically. Like, just an Anon account. That was probably not a good move in hindsight. But
no, and then it's like, that's the thing that really got to people, is that like, if you trust Daniele, but he already knew that you have a known scammer
who's already like... Well, he's like, I want to give him a second chance, but this guy scammed people like more than two times. He
has like a felony record.
He got deported to Canada from the U.S. because of
identity. He has like three names, doesn't he?
Yeah. So there's like a so his original name is like Omar something, and there's a Twitter account.
Yeah,
I don't know if this is him.
No, the fake one is hilarious.
It's a fake. It's a fake one, but it's like, yeah, it's crazy because it also crashed Luna too, because a lot of people like that UST MIM, like DGen box, a lot of people where it's like
DGen box
where you couldn't, it was such a like profitable like stablecoin strategy, and people like paid back their loans. That's why it's like there's a DPEG, is because people were trying to pay back and they didn't want to be associated with the protocol anymore. So they so there was like millions of UST opening up for that pool, because people didn't want to like touch Wonderland anymore because they were scared, and then
they repaid
all their loans. So there's like a huge availability for UST, and the anchor protocol for UST was not producing the rewards, and it's like, if Daniele found this a month ago, and like even the Zach guy, I think he found out earlier and he just chose to disclose it now. Like, he probably had some time and then sold, you know, before he dropped the news, so he didn't get affected. So he's not totally absolved. The crazy thing is that like this has so many big implications, because Daniele is like such a big developer in the space. Like Andre Cronje,
he's like he's the Phantom guy. And then he's also like, what?
Well, they had the Phantom, the Solidify project with their VE33, that it's like kind of in flux.
Yeah.
So it's like crazy. Like people, it was funny that all the platforms had the same tweet, distancing themselves from Wonderland, saying like they're not associated with Wonderland.
Yeah. This Omar Danani account though is so funny. So
yeah, that's his name.
Tweet. Michael Patron, aka Omar Danani, aka Sifu, like the known scammer, but then the person is a parody account. It's, don't tell me the 80k APY of Wonderland is unrealistic. I invested 10k into Quadriga CX and turned it into 198 million pure profits. 80k is underwhelming, but I wanted to play it safe with people's funds. And like, you saw the meme of Spider-Man where like it's like after he changes, where he doesn't need his glasses anymore, or he puts his glasses on. Yeah. They're like, funds are safe, and then they like take it. I was like, oh, funds are with Sifu. Good stuff. Yeah, there are still a lot of questions about my Quadriga partner. Is he dead? Did he die? I confirm he's dead, but how did he die? All I can say is I don't like splitting profits. It's like people in the comments too are just like, I don't know if I should laugh or cry, but I'm doing both.
Yeah, man.
To celebrate reaching 1k followers, I will double the amount of the upcoming BSGG airdrop. That hurts, kind of. Like, I wanted the airdrop.
Did you see the Japanese guy I sent you doing the statement? I'll share it. This is funny. The memes are hilarious. The content was hilarious. This one.
Yeah.
It's true.
Oh. Dude, it's bad, man. And like, I don't know where he goes from there. Yeah. I just sent you the meme too. Like, you look in your little thingy.
Yeah, sketchy. Danny's reputation. Yeah, it's like the ripple effect was immense. Like Luna, the thing that weirded me out too is because maybe I sold too early, but where the whole UST Luna situation, and then you know, the guy from Luna, Do Kwon, he's like a multi-sig he's one of the multi-sig. So people with the treasury fund. Yeah. So it was like, it was Sifu, Daniele, and then Do Kwon were, I think there's five, but you only needed three out of the five, you know, to have access. So with this whole thing dipping, there was like, you know, for probably an hour or two where I was like, dang, Luna might crash too, but you know, he might be in on the scam. So
but Luna's down like a big chunk. Like Luna's still down a lot.
Yeah, but I think he tweeted, he clarified some things about the peg in the UST. And I think it was just a major stress test. And because like spell is like back, or like it's like back up 50%. It's back up 50%. So I think it was just a major stress test, and like the mim peg is back. I mean, there's no arbitrage anymore, I don't think. And so yeah, this thing just has just a very sour taste in my mouth, because I was very optimistic that I could hold this for a year and like become a millionaire and cash out. And then it got too hopeful. My fault.
I mean, it's kind of like one of the more epic, like it's incredibly, I mean, in between Wonderland and Urzel, it's like pretty epic.
Yeah, what are the chances? Like this makes Urzel like look like an angel. Like I'm glad. Maybe I should buy more Urzel now.
Yeah. I'm glad I got out of the Pudgy Penguins.
Yeah.
Dude, who cares about a drug problem? At least he's not a scammer.
Yeah.
They both like, cause on the list of.
Yeah.
Dude, just don't leverage. You won't get liquidated.
Jeez. Yeah, I don't know if how they can recover. But if they recover, like, kudos to them. I'm like safer now that I'm like my mind is like that. It, like when that happens in real time, man, like that's all you can think about, really. And then I was in a place where I had internet connection at the Ritz-Carlton of all places. Like you think they'd have good internet, but they didn't. So I couldn't sell until I was in a better place. But yeah, that was. I don't know if we explained that well, but there are good Twitter threads available to make it more logical. But yeah, man, definitely a step back, because now. So, do you see about that? There's a conspiracy theory, like about like how Mim at the stablecoin meeting, it got and now like you know Mim. Was brought up saying how a stablecoin called Magic Internet Money, like how could that not be a scam? Yeah. And like there's a conspiracy theory that like Elizabeth Warren like knew about Magic Internet Money, was tracking the wallets and stuff, and knew that like the shady activity with Abracadabra or something. But
yeah, I mean, it really is. Yeah, Abracadabra, Magic Internet Money, Wonderland, Wrapped Memories. Like, at a certain point you have to kind of like sit back and stuff and like.
But the names are so clever. It was like
they are clever.
Such an and it was a long con too, like November to or like September.
Dude, it was at 10K for a while.
Yeah, September till January, like that's crazy. Like I was up,
still
I was
800 million. In my mind, I want them to just go ahead. Who cares about the time price? If they just start doing airdrops that are worth a lot of money.
Yeah, just airdrop people.
Yeah, people will buy back in. And then if they just keep up with their farming strategies, Daniele knows how to farm for crazy APY. Like, he doesn't even need leverage. He's just a fucking junkie.
Sifu was the farmer, though. He was the
manager. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the treasury manager.
He was like, we're making a million a day. So
I mean,
he was
they probably the, were.
Yeah. But the thing is that, like, if he's if they're associated with it, like, it's basically insider, the whales will always have the drop. And then they'll just dump on us continuously. It's just going to repeat thing. And then it goes to the same where it's like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So it's like there's a, if you're in this, and this is what I rationalize, is like, you're in this, like, you're going to be constantly overlooking your shoulder, like trying not to get pulled every single day. Like if you were already watching it every 8 hours, you're going to be watching it even more because like they could just scam you, or like they could just trigger liquidation cascade like whenever.
And that's the thing, is that's why they're saying they're like, regulators are going to be on people's asses, because like,
yeah,
if you did this with stocks, like you're going to jail.
This is like, you can make a movie out of
that's what people said. They were like, please just have Jonah Hill play Daniele.
Well, that'd be pretty good.
He's a great actor. That'd he's a good actor. Good. He's funny.
And he's good at playing like a, I wouldn't call Daniele a douchebag, but like a douchebag type, like sleazy kind of character.
I liked in the memes where they were like, half Ron Jeremy and Pablo Escobar had a baby. The dude has the porn stash. It's like,
yeah, he definitely looks like Ron Jeremy.
I listened to Frog Nation a couple times, and it's like, he's got the charming Italian accent. Dude rocks Crocs and wears like a tie-dye shirt, and you're like,
he's tatted, got the sleeves. But there was a funny clip too where he was on a podcast like in 2000, an old podcast, let's just say, and he brought up Quadriga, and he's like, this is not the last time we hear about Quadriga. So it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and I mean, I was seeing also like Tetranode, because he's in Spell, right?
Yeah, you know, he's a big Spell holder.
Yeah, and so they were like, he's like figuring the tokenomics and like he's getting into it and stuff. And
well, he was like, he's like, I'm not in Wonderland. I wouldn't associate with someone who's like a known criminal.
Yeah, and then he was like, I think he was also opposed to like, and the whole like throwing Wonderland and Spell together.
Well, they
like,
had a proposal. That was the proposal before, and then the news.
He was like, nah.
Yeah. But now there's a proposal by Abracadabra where you can swap your DAO, any kind of DAO token, not just Wonderland. You can swap it for Spell. So there's basically the same thing. So I don't know. It's not looking great. We were duped. We were so bullish on the Wonderland ecosystem. At least I was. I don't know how duped you were, but
I just have been kind of like sitting tight. I like to, like, I think I said about how my strategy is like, instead of like trying to time the bottom, like wait for confirmed outbreaks. Like, I don't need to like hit the exact bottom, because like,
yeah,
every
no
time
way
I buy
you're going
dip,
to.
It keeps dipping.
Yeah. But right now, I think we're in an accumulation point where it's just sideways action. good way, good time to accumulate.
Try to pick up some extra scratch here and there.
Yeah. Should we move to shills? I think I've shared my pain enough.
Yeah. I mean, I have some off the top of my head. I'd like, that's kind of like some of the old ones, but I mean, it feels like the nodes are really like a good go. And I think Strong and I think Thor.
Thor was going to be my shill.
Yeah.
Where I think nodes have become, I mean, there's definitely a scam nodes or Gnomer Ponzi's out there for
and in
same,
my mind,
same with ohms, but
it's sketchy Thor's now that there are like more nodes coming out where I'm like,
cause yeah, like, there's a ring, like ring on BSC was a scam that got rugged.
I saw that Scrooge has like 7 different kinds of nodes.
Yeah, I think Thor. Like,
I don't even know where he gets in those.
I think Strong and Thor are. I mean, Thor, I was looking into it. They're the guy who runs the treasury. He's KYC. You know, that was big. Yeah. Like,
they seem solid. And then with Thor, they had talked about how I was telling you they reduce the rewards, which makes it more sustainable.
And there's different tiers too that make it easier to entry. Like you don't need 10 Strong or 10 Thor to create a node. Like there's these different tiers, like Odin. Obviously, the cheaper the cost, the less rewards or a longer time to pay back your initial investment. But there's like Odin, which only takes like 1.25, Freya that takes like 6.25. And then like 12.25 for the Thor, and then 78 is Odin. And then there's a claim tax, a high claim tax if you want to claim before the ROI, the return on investment. So let's say for a Thor node, it takes you like 30 days or 60 days to pay back or to earn enough Thor to buy another one, you would have to pay like a 20% tax if you want to claim before those 20 days. Once you hit that, and that's just to like hold, you know, so it doesn't tank the price. And then after that, it's just a 1% fee. But then if you compound into more of that same type, then there's no claim fee. There's no tax, so.
Interesting.
Definitely something to look into. It's on AVAX, so definitely the gas transactions are cheaper than Strong, which is on Ethereum. But the Thor nodes seem something that I would want to get into something.
And just the classic Strong node, like those two seem the two safe ones. I don't know about the other ones. There was another one, and I tried looking it up, but I'd have to dig for it, but there was another node project that was scalable, so you didn't have to collect a certain number where it was like it would scale to like how much you invest.
Yeah.
Because like all these nodes, for whatever reason, you have to like set them up with all complicated numbers and do crap. But again,
I don't even know how it affects your laptop, you know, like because you're running a node, you're loaning your laptop power.
Is that really? Wow. Really? It has to be always on?
I mean, it runs the node on the back in the background of your computer while you're using it. I think that's what the node
thing be something is. To look up into. I'm not positive about that.
Yeah, because I know for Theta, it's running something in the background of your computer. But honestly, also, I mean, I think the winner out of this whole Time Wonderland situation is Ohm, actually. Like, Ohm is, like, the original, yield protocol. They're building stuff. It's at, like, an opportunity right now where it's, like, it never dipped below the risk-free value. And it's at, like, $60 right now. And the APY is, like, 1,500%.
Yeah. I mean, there's just a lot of things that are dipped like pretty hard where I was like,
Luna right now, there's a lot of FUD. AVAX it's under 50. Well.
Yeah.
AVAX.
Solana, but I mean, Solana, the FUD might be warranted.
Yeah, they're having scaling issues.
And I would think maybe
I think Terra is a lot of FUD.
I was going to say the Phantom ecosystem. I mean, some of the DeFi plays, they're not that risky with crazy rewards. And I mean, yeah, I'm doing Phantom and Tomb.
That one seems, because Tomb is pegged to Phantom, right?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
It's like there's less in permanent loss, if any. It's minimized.
Yeah.
You get airdrops. I think Phantom farming is the place.
I got like...
as I said last week.
I got a decent chunk, a couple $100 of a T-share. And I claimed it. And then, yeah, you don't have to worry about the fees. So it was like $1 or less. And I claimed the T-share and then I staked it. And now I'm earning T-bond. Like, I don't even get... I did the Phantom Tomb, balanced, minted the liquidity pool token, staked that. So already the liquidity pool token is earning money. And then you stake it and then you get T-share, which is like worth money somehow. And then I took the T-share to like earn something else. Like, and Aubrey had been talking to me about it where he was like, the T-bond that you earn from the T-share like could go to zero. And I'm like, I mean, yeah, the fifth thing that I'm farming probably shouldn't be worth much. Like,
yeah. Yeah, Phantom's under $2 right now. It's at 196.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's juicy. I haven't bought any since I bought it at 6 cents. Probably stupid. Should just reinvest in your winners. But then you just see that Rare still dips. And I'm like, yeah, that's definitely
it's a blessing. And
that was the Su Zhu one where he's like, more money has been made buying breakout tops.
That's what Sailor said too about diversification, where it's like, you're just investing in losers, basically. That's what diversification means. Like, and it's true to some point, but it's also scary when you bet wrong.
And I guess an interesting thing. Maybe if things keep going down, you know, maybe buy Bitcoin. It might not be that stupid.
Yeah.
Like, you have the...
I think ETH is more of value. I would buy ETH than Bitcoin.
I mean, but the gas fees are so bad. I don't know why...
I mean, just buying ETH, though, on Coinbase or Coinbase Pro and just holding it.
But then, I mean, that's why...
That's better than Bitcoin.
From the up only. His arguments are like, okay, well, Bitcoin is solid. And I know what it is. It's like solid like Manhattan, you know, like the schist where it's not going to shake. Dude, if you're going to invest in Ethereum, then you can invest in Phantom or AVAX. And then you immediately have a ton of questions. And like, he's like, Bitcoin, it's going to always be there. And in the future, you know, with the Lightning Network. And then he was talking about how, yeah, who cares about the transactions? Binance, Block, you know, Square, lots of places are transacting it as a custody, you know, custodial.
Yeah.
And like, if you really want to take your coins off of those things, but the Lightning Network and like all the other scalable things on top of Bitcoin, he's like, they'll do stuff on top of Bitcoin. And if you want to play around with Ethereum NFTs or AVAX NFTs, who knows what the next thing is going to be, but there is no next Bitcoin.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you can get, I mean, for small chumps like me, like, I think it's better to get Ethereum where it's like you can stake it too if you want.
Yeah. I mean, you can stake Bitcoin too. And that's the funny thing. How do you do DeFi with Bitcoin? You wrap it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
you can.
No, the Phantom stuff. I would say get on the Phantom stuff. Try to find the best farming strategies. Even do farming strategies with dollars. Like, honestly.
Yeah, bear market. If we're in a bear market, squeeze the yields.
Squeeze the yields. Try to get as many tokens as you can.
Yeah, and that's us.
Cool. Good episode. Talk to you next week.
All right. Yeah, this has been the latest episode of the Crypto Sparta podcast. Thanks for listening.